Amen. Father, we thank you for giving us another opportunity. To eat of this bread of life. Lord, we ask for the mind of Christ. Lord, we reject the mind of man. Lord, I reject my own mind. Lord, we receive the mind of Christ. We pray you will give us the wings of the Spirit, the wings of the ego. We ask that you might pour upon us your Spirit to lift us up. For you said the bread that you will give us is the bread that will lift us up, that will raise us up from the dead.
Amen.
That will bring us into this resurrection of life. Well, as that you might erase this law of sin and death. We might break the pool of this law. That we might be released.
Amen.
To soar in the realms of the Spirit.
Amen.
We pray you might give seed to the sower. And give sweet bread to the eater. Fresh bread. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive understanding. Receive grace. Lord, we might perceive that which you are seeing. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I believe that the Lord has been good to us. Beginning from last night, I believe God has been building something. Beginning from the revelation our sister shared, beginning from the revelation our sister shared yesterday, and you know all the other revelations that have been coming, and the word in the morning and in the afternoon. So you can see everything has come to a point. And so I was just praying and said, Lord, do you still want me to say something? Because I have learned over time that there is a difference between my mind and the mind of the Lord.
Zwischen meinem Verstand und dem, was der Herr vorhat.
Because I have so many things in my head.
Ich habe so viele Dinge in meinem Kopf.
I have about five notebooks.
Ich habe ungefähr 5 Notizbücher.
Full of different things the Lord has said to me.
Voll geschrieben mit Dingen, die der Herr mir offenbart hat.
So I'm sure you don't want me to give you 5 notebooks of lecture. So you want the word of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. So I was praying, I said, Lord, do you still want me to say something? I can't understand. What do you want me to say? Then I heard the word. Amen. Sister Bola started praying. And God said, that's it. Amen. So I believe I have a word to share. Amen. And you know, for a long time, I believe, well, I have been struggling. And I can see you are all struggling like me. You know, we've been in a place of, well, in a kind of, in a place of indecision, as it were. You know, asking God for a breakthrough. Not being satisfied with where we are coming from. And not knowing exactly where we are going to. But I can see that light is beginning to come. You know, the baptism in water is for the body. Amen. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is for the spirit. Then what will happen to the soul? Many of us have been baptized in water. And as Barak was saying in the a few hours ago, many of us have made a commitment to go all the way. But like me, it's still not very clear. I mean, I'm saying, God, where am I going to? What really is it there for me? What is involved? And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for the Spirit, to quicken the Spirit. And the Spirit of God comes into the Spirit and takes hold of the Spirit. Overshadows the Spirit. But you see, the Spirit belongs to God. Because when at the end of the road for any man, if you get there, the Spirit goes back to God. The body goes down to the dust. So what have we gained? You know, so the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for the Spirit. As the brother was saying, it is an advancement. You know, God coming down to the earth. And make no mistake about it, everybody knows. Everyone that is in the Spirit knows that there is something that is happening. That the heavens are coming down to the earth. Nothing can stop it. Even those who are unbelievers, they know that the heavens are coming down. You know, I was reading a book, and they are all talking about it. Everyone, in all the religions in the world, they know that the heavens are coming down. It is only God's people who seem to, we are still undecided. You know, I'm like Paul said, why should it seem so difficult for you to realize that God can raise the dead? So God, you know, I mean, they find it difficult that God could raise the dead. And how is it that we find it difficult that the heavens are coming down into man? Amen. Because the in Colossians, says it, or it says the fullness of the Godhead bodily in man. So God is coming down to man. The direction is down. Amen. Hallelujah. So the real man is the soul. So if the body has been baptized and the spirit has been baptized, the soul is saying, what hindered me from also being baptized? He said, there is water, why can't I be baptized also? So that is the crisis in the church. What do you do with the soul? And the church has written up the soul. You know, we say we don't want anything to do with the soul. Tell us anything else, we are ready to hear it. But the soul does not belong to us. Amen. But it is so different from what God has in mind. If there is anyone that should be baptized, it is the soul. And you know, the scriptures about the Old Testament and about the tabernacle are actually meant for the soul. You know, as Brother George showed in the, he showed in the morning, and Barak talked about it also. He talked about the third temple. Okay, the first temple, Moses. The second one, Solomon. Then also the third temple. The third one.
Okay.
You know, so the first temple had to be dedicated. Alright. Moses didn't just build it and walk into it. Moses didn't just build it and then walk into it. I'm sorry about yes. So Bible says after he had finished building it, he had to anoint it. Amen. And those who were going to function there, they had to separate them and consecrate them. So if that happened for the ordinary temple, if for wood and for gold and silver God had to anoint it, how much more this temple that God is building? And Paul says, if the blood of bulls and goats,
Paulus sagte, wenn das Blut von Ziegen und Kälbern
could bring a cleansing,
eine Reinigung bringen konnte,
and if the ashes of the heifer
und die Asche der getöteten Tiere
could bring cleansing,
Reinigung bringen konnte,
how much more?
Amen.
The blood of Jesus is able to purge the conscience. You know, Barak drew a picture.
Barak hat heute Morgen ein Bild gezeichnet.
He said something about the soul.
Das ist etwas über die Seele und Geist.
He said the soul has a self-consciousness.
Die Seele ist sehr selbstbewusst.
But can I take permission from you to upgrade the soul? Can I upgrade the soul? To say, actually, the soul has a sin consciousness. Consciousness. Because Hebrews says that whenever in the Old Testament, whenever the priest would go in, the priest only went in once in the year and come out, that offering could not take away the conscience of sins. So that in itself was saying that there was a problem with that sacrifice. Because he could not take away the conscience of sins. So the man was not satisfied. So that in itself showed that there had to be something better to come. Amen. So God is giving us a permanent solution. Because God wants to deal with the problem in the soul. Therefore, the soul must be upgraded. The soul must be brought into the realm of the spirit. You know, for it to go through the preparation that it requires. And you know, while I was praying, I heard a word about atonement. Atonement. To make reconciliation.
It's a very special word in every single term.
To make a reconciliation.
Wiederherstellung oder zurückführen, eigentlich Sündenvergebung, aber das sagt noch mehr aus.
You can look at Leviticus 23.
I know that the German word is not as strong as the English one, so we're asking Google.
There was this feast, the Day of
Atonement. Yeah.
Okay, you can. Yeah, 17:11 will go. So what do you find there?
You can find it in my book.
To make atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17:11.
Also, einigen wir uns auf Sühne.
Okay, you've got the word?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Not perfectly, I think, giving what the English one says, but it's okay.
Okay, so the soul must be atoned.
Die Seele muss versöhnt werden mit Gott.
Must be atoned for. That is to make a reconciliation.
Das ist eine Wiederherstellung, eine Zurückführung zu.
No, but you see, the if you go to Leviticus 23,
wenn man Mose 23 nimmt,
The scripture says that we must come to the point where we afflict the soul.
Damit heißt es, dass wir an diesen Punkt kommen müssen, wo wir die Seele in Schwierigkeiten bringen.
And the place where we afflict the soul,
und das tun wir in dem,
is in the place or the experience of the last feast.
Indem wir dieses letzte Mal teilhaben lassen.
So the scripture tells us that there are three seasons in God's dealing.
What? Die Schrift sagt uns, dass es drei Phasen gibt.
Yeah, you want to read it? Yes, you can read it, yes.
So that they get the German words right.
Okay. Go ahead. Leviticus 17:20. 23rd of yes. 23rd. It's actually from 27 to 32, so you can read it through that day.
Doch am 10. dieses 7. Monats, da ist der Versöhnungstag, eine heilige Versammlung soll er für euch sein, und ihr sollt euch selbst demütigen. Und diesen Versöhnungstag, Day of Atonement, geht es hier, Sühnetag.
32, have you read? 17 to 27 to 32. That is 23 from 27 to verse 27
yeah,
to,
read that.
To 32.
No, I've read only.
So read up to 32. 27 to 32.
Weitergehend die Verse. Eine heilige Versammlung soll er für euch sein, und ihr sollt euch selbst demütigen, und ihr sollt dem Herrn ein Feueropfer darbringen. Und keinerlei Arbeit dürft ihr tun an diesem Tag, denn es ist der Versöhnungstag, um Sühnung für euch zu erwirken vor dem Herrn, eurem Gott. Denn jede Person, die sich nicht demütigt an eben diesem Tag, die soll ausgerottet werden aus ihren Völkern. Und jede Person, die irgendeine Arbeit tut an eben diesem Tag, eben diese Person werde ich umkommen lassen aus der Mitte ihres Volkes. Keinerlei Arbeit dürft ihr tun. Eine ewige Ordnung für eure Generation in alle Orten.
Okay.
Ein ganz feierliches Sabbat soll es euch sein. Und ihr sollt euch selbst demütigen. Am 9. des Monats, am Abend, vom Abend bis zum Abend, sollt ihr euren Sabbat feiern.
So, I'm just trying to draw this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit
die Taufe im Heiligen Geist
is for the Spirit.
Ist für den Geist.
The baptism in the water is for the body.
Die Taufe im Wasser ist für den Leib.
But where we are now.
Aber das, worum es jetzt geht.
Baptism into Christ.
Die Taufe in Christus. Hinein.
Okay, so I hope I think this is simple enough to remember. Amen. So for everyone here,
für jeden hier,
I believe God has brought us to this point.
Ich glaube, Gott hat uns hier an diesen Punkt gebracht.
We're looking at the experience of the labor of baptisms, and that is the breathing labor.
Taufe, das ist das Becken im Vorhof.
And this is the second station in the tabernacle.
Das ist die zweite Station in der Stiftshütte.
Remember, we are looking at the foundations.
Wir schauen uns, denkt daran, die Grundlagen an.
The first foundation is the altar, the brazen altar.
Die erste Grundlage ist der bronzene Altar.
And then this is number one, and then this is number two.
Und dies ist jetzt Nummer zwei.
Amen. So I believe that's where God has brought us to.
Ich glaube, dahin hat der Herr uns geführt.
And this is also the place of experience.
Und das ist auch der Ort, wo wir erleben.
For the church, historically.
Wo die Kirchengeschichtliche Erfahrung gemacht haben.
It is instructive that even in Germany here,
selbst hier in Deutschland,
you know, when Martin Luther started, he brought the church back to the experience of the just shall live by faith.
Hat Martin Luther die Kirche dahin zurückgebracht, dass sie auf Glauben.
And then the Lutherans.
Und dann die Lutheraner
had a problem going on to the second experience.
Hatten ein Problem damit weiterzugehen zu dieser zweiten Erfahrung.
So the those who believed in baptism,
also gaben die an die Taufe geglaubt haben,
were persecuted by the Lutherans.
Wurden verfolgt von den Lutheranern.
So those spirits are still alive today.
Und diese Geister sind immer noch unterwegs heute.
And you and I have to contend with those spirits.
Und wir müssen uns mit denen auseinandersetzen.
But because there are different levels of baptism.
Aber weil es unterschiedliche Ebenen der Taufe gibt.
So the Anabaptists.
Die Anabaptisten.
They believe that you have to be baptized in water.
Sie glauben, dass man im Wasser getauft werden muss.
Amen. And the Lutherans who were at the first station.
Und die Lutheraner, die dort an der ersten Position.
They said no. If you are born again, that's all you need.
Sie haben gesagt, nein, es reicht völlig, wenn du wiedergeboren bist.
And those who were baptized in water, after some time, they said that's all they needed. It took about 2 or 3 centuries. Where some people came and said, no, it's not just baptism in water. There's another baptism you need. And then we had the outbreak of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. So you can see how slow the change has been. Amen. But I don't believe we have 2 centuries for us to move from the baptism in the Holy Ghost to the baptism into Christ. So, I don't know, are you with me? If you're with me, say praise the Lord. Amen. So, the church has been slow in making this transition.
Die Gemeinde ist sehr langsam gewesen in diesen Veränderungen.
And God told Moses.
Und Gott hat aber schon Moses.
Well, not really Moses, he wasn't there. He told them, he said, look, yeah, Moses was there. He said, how long would you go around this mountain?
Er fragte das Volk Israel, wie lange wollt ihr denn um diesen Berg herum?
God told him, turn and move northward.
Geht weiter, geht nördlich.
And that is what God is saying to us.
Und das sagt Gott uns auch.
We need to move forward.
Wir müssen weitergehen.
Can I ask one question, please?
Yes, please.
What do you mean by being baptized into Christ?
That is where we are going to.
Okay.
So I have succeeded because I wanted to make you hungry here. So you are hungry. So I have succeeded. That's very good. So I'm. Amen. So I wanted to make sure we get the distinction. So. People are still being baptized in water today. And people are still being baptized in the Holy Ghost today. And we thank God for both experiences. But there is a new experience in the land. And that is the baptism into Christ. You know, this man again, I go back to him because he handed over the baton, so I'm trying to take it and move it forward. He made a very profound statement. He said, the head without the body is incomplete. And the body without the head is incomplete. So God doesn't want any of them. Amen. God wants only one thing. The head and the body together. Amen. That's what God is doing. So the head has gone. And the head is the example. He came on the earth. Was born under the Roman boot. The Roman machine was, it doesn't have any emotion. It was without soul.
It
was cruel.
It
was ruthless. The most efficient machine ever built was the Roman army. God brought his son under it. Amen. And he came out of that. So that is just a digression. So whatever situation you find yourself in, Jesus also found himself in this situation. And he overcame.
Amen.
He overcame as a man. Because the almighty Roman army said, I find no fault in this God.
This man.
Yes.
Oh.
Huh?
So Pontius Pilate said, I'm dealing with a man here, not God.
Yes.
Pontius Pilate said, I see a man. So he was dealing with a man. But this man had the fullness of the Godhead bodily in him. Amen. And the Bible says any spirit that says that that is not possible is the spirit of the Antichrist. So if Jesus went through that way, then you and I can also go through that way. Because Romans says the same spirit that was in Christ is the same spirit that is in us. Amen. So God is doing one thing now. He is bringing the head and the body together. So it means the body has to come up to a much more higher standard. But the experience I have is that for us as a people, we are still struggling. We haven't quite made the decision to go with the Spirit. Because the soul, I would have asked you to stand up and put your leg like this, to stand like me. But, okay, so just allow only me to stand this way. You see the way I'm standing? The soul is standing like me. One leg in the natural, another leg in the spirit. It doesn't know where to go. It doesn't know whether it should go with the body. It doesn't know whether it should go with the spirit. The soul is like that beautiful young girl, sweet 16. So you can see the soul in the middle. Undecided. Will I marry the body? Will I marry the spirit? We have to choose. Amen. Which way will we go? This man again, he said, he talked about Rebecca. You know, they came to Rebecca and he says, will thou go with this man? That is the question we are being asked. Will thou go with this man? Rebecca had not seen the man. So she had to go with faith. But that's not very, very correct. Rebecca is a type of your soul. And it's a type of my soul. The Bible says that the eyes of the understanding have been darkened. Do you understand? That every sense that you have in the body is also in the soul. And the Bible said that the eyes of the understanding have been darkened. The soul comes into the world not knowing who God is. It's called perception. When you use the word I perceive, what you are saying is that you are seeing something, but not with your physical eyes. Amen. So when you use the word I perceive that thou art a prophet,
yes.
That's what the woman said. I perceive, sir, that you are a prophet. She was no longer talking of her physical eyes. She was speaking about the understanding that was coming from within her. The thing is that we have been blind for too long. We have suspended the use of our soul for too long. And we have forgotten that we have a heritage in the spirit. So we think that the only husband we can marry is the body. You know, he drew the picture, he talked about the five senses in the body. Because with those five senses, you are aware of the world. So he said, the body is world conscious. And you know what? The soul has been won over by the body, so the soul is also world conscious. Amen. But you see, that is going on because the soul does not know who it is, where it's supposed to go. It doesn't know its inheritance. They told the woman, you worship what you know not. And brethren, that's what we are doing. We worship what we know not. We are worshiping a God that we have not perceived. But it's not everybody that is saying that. John said, that which we have seen, that which we have beheld, that which we have touched. That word touch means to investigate. It means to search out, to seek out. That which we have heard of the word of life that was from the beginning. The word he heard from the beginning wasn't a natural word, it was spirit. Amen. So what John was describing was a spiritual experience. Because the same John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he said that Word was made flesh. The Word that was at the beginning, before time. In other words, in John, eternity swallowed up time and became a reality. Amen. So John went beyond natural time and he began to experience eternity. And this experience was an experience of his soul. Amen. So the challenge we have is, how do we get out of this prison, this mold? And that is the baptism into Christ. Amen. So God is beginning to agitate us. God has to create some kind of agitation, you know, some turmoil, has to shake things up. So Ebola has to come to the United States. ISIS has to come around. Trouble is coming. The reason for the trouble is that we might get up in the spirit. So God has to make... we are too comfortable with the world. So God says, I'm going to send trouble. There's a scripture that says, Moab has been at ease from his birth. From birth. Moab.
Moab,
he says his taste has not been changed. His senses have not been changed. So I am going to do something to Moab. He said, I will send tilters. Tilters mean people who will come and begin to shake. And I will empty Moab from vessel to vessel. Because when God empties it, before he settles down, he empties it again. Before he settles down, so he shakes up everything. Amen. So you and I are coming to a place of shaking. And you know, Hebrew says that he's going to shake all things.
In Hebrew, heißt es, er wird alle Dinge schütteln.
That all everything that should be shaken will be shaken.
Alles, was aufgerüttelt werden muss, wird gerüttelt.
So that only those things that cannot be shaken will.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So I don't know, are you going through a shaking? Do you find some uncomfortable things beginning to happen to you? Amen. If you are there, God wants to move you forward. Amen. But it says that when you see Jerusalem surrounded, then look up. God is bringing trouble. And it's because he wants us to come up higher. So if you read in that Revelation, sorry, in Leviticus 23, where she read, it says, on the day of atonement, every soul must afflict itself. So the difference between the Pentecostal experience and the experience where God is taking us to, this baptism of the soul, is that the soul must come to a place of tribulation. Paul said, I glory in tribulation. If you glory in tribulation, can I see your hand up? There is no glory in tribulation in this place. Paul said, I glory in tribulation. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. So that means nobody in this room wants to be strong. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said, I glory in tribulation. So we are speaking of the things we don't want to hear. Because we want good things, is it not? We want the comfort. We want the fast things. And when trouble comes, oh God, please take me out of this trouble. I don't want it. Where he says, when trouble comes, then glory is coming to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. But we need to move forward with the message. So the soul must come into a new experience. And that experience is coming into the realm of the spirit. Now, before I go into that new dimension, I need to explain something about the flesh and the spirit, those two words. In the spirit. Or actually, using the right term to be in Christ.
Oder besser noch, das richtige Wort ist in Christus sein.
So there are two words.
Also diese zwei Begriffe.
In the flesh.
Im Fleisch.
Or in Christ.
Oder das Gegenteil, in Christus.
Because when you are baptized into Christ, you come into Christ. So, what does it mean to be in the flesh?
Was bedeutet es, im Fleisch zu sein?
And what does it mean to be in Christ?
Und was bedeutet es, in Christus zu sein?
Paul said, if we walk, if we are in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Paul in Romans 8 talked about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. Now, remember, we're talking about the soul.
Denk daran, wir reden über die Seele.
And when you use the word soul, you are talking about four levels
of
reality.
When you
use the word soul, you mean four levels.
Wenn man über Seele spricht, dann meint man
eigentlich of God's dealing. Four levels of reality, that is the soul. Now, at the lowest dimension of the soul, you are talking about the four natures of the soul. So when you say you want to afflict the soul, it means you want to go into the soul. And to go into the soul, it means you want to go and disturb the operations of the soul. So at the lowest dimension of it, you are looking at the will, the emotions, the desire, and the mind. And in that arrangement,
in dieser Konstellation,
the mind is the head of the soul. So it's like a bed.
Es ist wie ein Bett.
Or if you look at the cross,
oder wenn man sich das Kreuz anschaut,
the head of that cross,
das Haupt dieses Kreuzes,
is the mind.
Ist der Verstand.
The tail of that cross is the will. The tail, the lowest part of it, is the will. The will is the servant.
Der Wille ist der Diener.
Anywhere those three guys decide, it will go with it.
Egal wo die anderen da oben entscheiden, wo es hingeht, der Wille kommt hinterher.
The horizontal experience of the soul is the emotion and the desire.
Die horizontale ist die Wünsche und die Gefühle.
So this is the way it should be.
So sollte das sein.
The mind leading.
Der Verstand, der vorausgeht.
And the emotions and the desires are what is able to determine how far the mind will go. Do you understand?
Und die Emotionen und die Wünsche, ja, die lehnen so ein bisschen ab, wie weit es nach vorne geht.
The mind is what determines the ability of the soul to rise from the earth.
Weil hier der Verstand ist derjenige oder der Teil, der bestimmt, in welchen Weg es geht.
So the mind is represented by the ego, by a bed.
Der Verstand ist also das Ego.
By the nature of the bed. By the nature of the bed. By the nature of the bird. The bird, yes, yes.
Der Verstand ist der Adler, das ist der Vogel, der voraus.
Okay. And you know the bird has one characteristic.
Und eine Charakteristik hat dieser Vogel?
It depends on the force of the wind.
Muss sich auf die Kraft seiner Flügel verlassen.
If the wind is rough,
wenn der Wind oder die Kraft des Windes,
then the bird comes alive.
Wenn der Wind richtig auf stärker wird, dann wird der Vogel richtig lebendig.
The rougher the wind,
je der Wind,
the higher the bird goes.
Desto höher kann der Vogel aufsteigen.
Because the bird finds the direction of the wind and flows with it.
Weil der Wind von diesem Wind, der Vogel sich von dem Wind tragen lässt.
The bird functions in the spirit.
Und dieser Vogel
functions in the air.
Der ist im Geist, der ist in der Luft.
And the air represents the realm of the spirit.
Und Luft ist ein Bild für den Geist, für den geistigen Bereich.
Now, the will is like that of the ox.
Der Wille ist wie der Ochse.
Well, the Bible says it is changed to that of a calf.
Die Bibel spricht davon, dass es zu einem Kalb geworden ist.
The calf is for sacrifice.
Das Kalb ist Das Opfer als Opfer gedacht.
You understand? You sacrifice the bird. Sorry, the calf.
Das Kalb wird geopfert.
It is sacrificial.
Es ist als Opfer gedacht.
It is broken.
Es ist zerbrochen.
Amen. But you see, on the other side, you have two contrasts. You have the lion, and you have what you call the face of a man.
Und rechts und links davon hat man dann den Löwen und das Angesicht des Menschen.
So the picture I'm giving you is a picture in Ezekiel chapter 1.
Das Bild, was ich euch gebe, ist aus Ezekiel 1.
And I went to God and I said, what is this face of a man?
Ich habe den Herrn gefragt, was bedeutet das Angesicht des Menschen?
And God said, it is a fallen nature.
Was sagt man hier, dass der gefallene Mensch ist?
So man in his desire is fallen.
Der Mensch in seinen Wünschen, in seinen, ja,
okay, fallen. Use another word, is earthbound. Okay, I use a better word, is serpentine. It's like the serpent. It's crooked. And you know, the serpent, it speaks of the nature of seduction. It speaks of the nature of deception. And there is something striking. On the in the dressing of the Pharaoh. In Egypt, you had Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is a representation of the devil himself. But historically, among the Egyptians, they say that the Pharaoh is the son of is the son of the gods. They said the Pharaoh comes from the sun. Don't you understand? And when he dies, he said the falcon has flown into the sun. Do you understand? He came from the sun, goes back to the sun. Do you understand? So the Pharaoh was not just a human being. Pharaoh was God. And was worshipped as God. And when he dies, his body is embalmed. And they found one of them, the body is still intact as it was many centuries ago. They put it in the sarcophagus, you know, the burial chamber of the gods. But that is not where we are going to. We are concerned about the mind of Pharaoh. Don't you understand? There is a spirit that rules the mind of Pharaoh. And it is the spirit of the serpent. It is a covering over the mind. By the way, Pharaoh is the god that rules Egypt. And Brother George was telling us Egypt represents the world. Please strike that word. Egypt represents Nigeria. Okay, strike the word. Egypt represents Czech. Okay, strike the word. You know where I'm going for now. Egypt represents Germany. Now, is it coincidence that the great nations of the world, each one of them, has an eagle as the emblem? The German eagle, the American eagle, the Nigerian eagle is speaking of the mind. Those that don't have the eagle, they must have the lion. Those that don't have the lion must have the bear. Or we have the dragon. So there is something that is happening. So it is speaking of a nature. is speaking of a nature. So the soul is speaking about dimensions of energy.
Die Seele spricht über verschiedene Sphären der Kraft,
and
der Energie.
If you permit me, I can go. So if you look at this altar that
Wenn
God made,
diesen Altar euch anschaut,
there were horns.
Da sind Hörner an den Ecken.
There were four horns.
Vier Hörner an den Ecken.
And the horn speaks of power.
Und Hörner sind Kraft.
That you may not be aware of it. You may not be aware. But there is tremendous power in your soul. There is tremendous energy within your soul. Amen. So God must visit that energy. So there is no way God is going to let the soul just walk in unchanged. The Americans will say that is not going to happen. Is that not what you guys say? That is not going to happen. So God is not going to let that happen. Or like you say, that is not on.
Uh-huh.
That is not on. The soul cannot walk that way into heaven. Don't you understand? So the soul, that those energies at the four corners of the soul. The energy in the emotion, not you understand. They say it's passions. It has a journey to make. It has two journeys to make. It has to come to a place of brass, or it must come to a place of gold.
Entweder wird das Ganze zu Bronze oder zu Gold.
So those are two choices it must go through.
Die Entscheidung zwischen Bronze und Gold muss getroffen werden.
In the outer court.
Außen im Vorhof.
The soul must come onto the place of judgment.
Die Seele muss gerichtet werden. Die kommt vor das Gericht.
Because it must go from that place of judgment to a place of authority.
Denn aus diesem Gericht.
So it must go from the brazen altar to the golden altar. It's the same altar that's moving. So it is an experience. Now, the experience of the golden altar is what you find in the holy place. The experience of the brazen altar is in the outer court. But the church is afraid of altars. Because we know what will happen on the altar. So you can preach anything you want. Never you mention altar. Because when you go there, there is only one thing you have to do is to die on the altar. And the soul never wants to die. Amen. So if you want to die, can you please raise your hand? Let me see. Paul said, for me to die is to live. How is this again? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And to live for me is Christ. So someone must come up alive. Either Christ or me. Amen. Now, you see, the scripture speaks about two types of horns.
In the Bible, there are two arten von Hörnern.
It uses, when you are reading Exodus, it tells you about the four horns.
Wenn man im zweiten Buch Mose liest, dann findet man die vier Hörner.
When you go to Revelation, it tells you about seven horns.
Wenn man in Offenbarung liest, findet man verschiedene, auch weiterhin verschiedene Hörner.
So is there a confusion?
Sieben Hörner. Das ist etwas verwirrend.
Well, it's just emphasis.
Aber
it's speaking about the same thing, but just emphasis.
Es spricht über die gleiche Sache, aber unterstreicht es noch.
So the soul, we know, has four realms of experience, which you call natures of the soul. And the way God made the soul, God made it with a particular structure. And the structure is that the mind must give life to the emotions, the desire, and the will. So the mind must conceive the idea and pass it down.
Der Verstand muss die Idee erfassen und sie dann weiterlesen.
So the mind is able to receive life from the spirit.
Der Verstand erhält also Leben aus dem Geist.
Now, I was telling you that the way the soul functions, that there are four levels.
Ich habe euch erklärt, dass so wie die Seele funktioniert, es vier Ebenen hat.
So you have the dimension of the four creatures, four realities in the soul. Now, within the mind itself,
im Verstand selber,
you have another dimension, four dimensions within the mind. So within the mind itself, there are four dimensions.
In dem Verstand ist wieder vier Dimensionen.
Because when you talk about the mind, you are speaking about a whole new realm of experience.
Wenn man über diesen Verstand spricht, dann
you are speaking about the ability of the mind to be aware, to know, to perceive. And the mind perceives with the senses. So we'll come to that later. The mind has the ability to the Greeks will say, or the Romans will say, logizo mind. That means to reason, to logic, to analyze, to dissect, to read in between. It's called intelligence, means interligere. That means to read in between the lines. And they say, when you are reading in between the lines, either you do it mentally,
und wenn man zwischen den Teilen liest, dann tut man das entweder,
or you do it spiritually.
Natürlich oder geistig.
Mental intelligence is of no use to God.
Mentale Intelligenz ist für Gott nicht zu gebrauchen.
And the Bible says that the Greeks by knowledge rejected God.
Paulus sagt, die Griechen haben in ihrem Wissen Gott zurückgewiesen.
So when we speak about intelligence, we're not speaking about the intelligence of medicine, like me. You know, I have a medical mind. When I look at you, I read you medically. Don't you understand? When you are speaking, I read you medically. I can analyze your speech. I know whether you are intelligent or non-intelligent just by your speech. Don't you understand? I can tell which part of the world you are by your speech. because that is my medical mind, don't you understand? And that in itself translates to the national mind, don't you understand? So the German mind works in a particular way. I want to encourage you, the Nigerian mind is even worse. But you see, the natural mind is of no use to us. Because the Greeks, by their knowledge, they could not find God. And the Bible said that the Jews were looking for signs. So for one it was foolishness, and the other one it was unexciting. So both of them rejected God, because they came to God with their intelligence. But they forgot that there is another intelligence. And that intelligence is one that comes from God. So the Bible said there is a wisdom that is from above. There's another wisdom that is from beneath. Amen. And it says, with the wisdom is the principal thing. With all you are getting, with all your PhD, get wisdom. Get understanding. So, in other words, God has understanding. And He says that He will give us the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of counsel. The spirit of understanding. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. The spirit of might. Isaiah 11 tells us those seven spirits. And the Bible says that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. For a long time, I rejected that scripture. I said, no, it's not possible. How can I be the same spirit with God? Well, that is where he is bringing us to. Because when you come into Christ, you receive the mind of Christ. You receive the same spirit. The same spirit that is in the head comes into the body. So that is the baptism into Christ. You know, so you have the soul, you have the mind. And within the mind you have the dimension of knowledge. You have the dimension of understanding. And then you have the dimension of wisdom. And then you have the dimension of the conscience. The dimension of the conscience. Good. Now, the conscience is a different game altogether. The conscience is the highest dimension of the mind. The conscience is in the realm of the spirit. Because you are looking at two dimensions. They say the man is unconscious. Or you can say the man is conscious. In the next few hours, everybody in this room will become unconscious. Is that correct? In the next few hours, whether you like it or not, all of us will become unconscious. But what will be happening to our mind while we're unconscious? The mind is alive. The mind is conscious. The mind is active. What then is happening to you when you are sleeping? Christians have thrown it away. We say, God, we are not interested in it. And the devil says, thank you very much. So while men slept, the enemy is sowing tears. he brings the idea. And it comes in packages. You wake up in the morning, everybody's behaving alike. Where do you think it's coming from? It's coming from a higher center. Because the devil has access. That is why the devil is interested in the mind. Because that is his workshop. The way the mind is made, the mind is an industry, is a place of invention. And that's why God said, I will make a new covenant. I will address the problem. I will speak to the issue. You know, when you go to some of the places where we go, they say, my friend, speak to the table. Address the issue. God is addressing the issue. What is the issue? The issue is in the loins of the mind. The problem is in the loins of the mind. But Peter talked about the loins of the mind. The loins speaks of the creative energies, the creative womb of the mind. The ability to receive the seed and incubate it and bring forth life. Amen. But the conscience is the meeting point between the mind of man, the spirit of man, and the spirit of God. That is the realm where the three meet. And God says, I will put my law in the inward parts. And I will write my law in the mind. Amen. God doesn't have a people until he changes the law in the mind. And Paul said, we speak wisdom among them that are what? Perfect. Wisdom is given to those who have come into maturity. Hebrews 5 says that for when we ought to be teachers, we need again that someone teach us the first principles of the kingdom. Because it says that those who are wise, or those who are of full age, that we have our senses exercised to discern the good from the evil. Brethren, God is bringing us to maturity. For us to be receiving and hearing this means God is taking us somewhere. Amen. There is a moving forward for the people of God. Because we are going beyond the bread and butter Christianity. You know the bread and butter Christianity? The prosperity message. The miracles. Those things belong in the outer court. It is showmanship. It is the ministry to the house. But God is not interested in the ministry in the house. He's looking at the ministry to the Lord. And that is the ministry of the holy place. So the ministry of the holy place is the ministry to the soul. Because the nature of the soul must be changed. Because Paul said that there is a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. This is 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul was saying there is a difference between the old and the new. In actual fact, Paul said there was a difference between childishness and maturity. And the scripture said, let us go on to maturity. And that is the word he's giving to us today. He said, let us go on to maturity. Let us come to the place where we begin to deal with the issues of the soul. Paul said, as long as the old covenant is concerned, whenever the law is read, that there is a veil over the mind,
dann ist eine Bedeckung über deren Bewusstsein.
There is a covering over the mind.
Zugedeckt.
So who was responsible for this covering over the mind?
Wer ist dafür verantwortlich?
It must be somebody who was interested in the mind.
Das muss jemand sein, der ein Interesse hat an der.
Somebody was interested in the mind.
Und wer ist das wohl?
Because he needed the mind.
Er braucht den Verstand.
So the Bible said that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that do not believe.
Dass der König dieser Welt den Verstand verdunkelt hat.
Now let us look at the scripture.
Lass uns die Bibelstelle hier anschauen.
The Bible says that the high priest must be consecrated. And there were two things that made the high priest to be consecrated, to function as a priest. To function as a high priest, you must have a special garment. And it was specific. There was a garment that was made for the high priest. In fact, there were five levels of those garments. And then when he had finished wearing the garment, he had to anoint him with oil. That is the priesthood of Aaron. To function as a priest unto God in the New Testament, you have to have a garment.
Yeah.
It says the garment of righteousness is the robe of the bride. My brother, when we were praying, he saw a bride going up the step. And the bride was wearing black. It was wearing red. It was wearing blue. The bride was wearing white. And the white speaks of righteousness. How then did the bride change from being blind, which is a nature of darkness, to a nature of righteousness? So there has to be a change in the dressing of the bride. The nature of the soul must be changed. And the three experiences in the holy place, they are meant to change the dressing of the soul. They are meant to change the nature of the soul. From brass to gold.
From bronze to gold.
There has to be a change in the covering.
Es muss eine Veränderung in der Bedeckung geben.
Garments speaks of nature.
Kleidung spricht über Natur und Charakter.
So there has to be a walk in the soul that will change it. And Paul says, we all with an open face,
Paul sagt, wir alle stehen offen vor dir,
beholding the glory of the Lord,
seht die Herrlichkeit,
are changed from glory to glory. So there are two things that bring about the change. From old house to new house. From a carnal mind to a spiritual mind. From a soul that is ruled by the emotions and desire to a soul that is ruled by the mind of Christ. Now, before this time, it was difficult for us to know the change. Am I taking too much time? Am I taking too much time? Okay, no one is answering. That means I can go on. My God. Where was I? Okay. Now, I'm just trying to say that what we are talking about is a practical thing. The baptism into Christ is a very practical thing. It's something that you can measure yourself by. The mind that is in the spirit is ruled by the Spirit of God. The mind that is in the flesh is not ruled by the Spirit of God. Flesh means the raw flesh without the covering of the skin. So it is speaking about the raw human nature of the soul. That is not under the control and influence of the Spirit of God. So put it this way. When my mind functions without the quickening of the Spirit of God, I am in the flesh. Amen. That I am. I go out to the airport and miss my flight. You have missed your flight. And you are going for an interview. That will change your life. What do you do? You have two options. You go to the internet. Look for the next available flight. And fly. You have walked in the flesh. Amen. The spiritual mind will put aside this internet and say, God, what are you saying? What do you want me to do? Are you stopping me from this journey? And you want to hear from the Lord. That's a spiritual mind. The other one is ruled by the emotions. Is ruled by the natural mind. You calculate this is the answer. And this is the challenge that we have. To reject the natural and to accept the Spirit. So there are two options. The Spirit and the Word. The Word. Spirit and the Word. The lampstand and the table of shewbread. The shewbread is represented by the mind of Christ. Mind of Christ. I see that you are getting tired. I notice you are getting tired. But I am not tired. So let's see who will win the battle. Anyway, I did it to make you. I noticed some of you are getting tired. I wanted you to laugh so that you come alive. Anyway, I will soon end. So, because I'm coming to the practical part now. That is, you're asking yourself, how do I become baptized into Christ? How does the Spirit come into my soul? Because the Spirit is in the realm of my spirit. And the fullness of God is in my spirit. How does this translate down to my soul? On a practical basis. So, the lampstand represents enlightenment.
Steht für Erleuchtung.
It represents energy.
Steht für Energie.
There are two things in the lampstand.
Es gibt zwei Dinge an dem Leuchter.
There are seven lamps of fire.
Sieben Flammen.
In the holy place, the enlightenment came from the lampstand.
Im Heiligtum kam die Erleuchtung durch den Leuchter.
And there was a table of shewbread also.
Dann war da der Tisch der Schaubrote.
There's a difference between the ministry from my mind and the ministry from the mind of Christ.
Es gibt einen Unterschied zwischen der Gesinnung von mir, der Gesinnung von mir und dem des Herrn, des Christus.
I can prepare a message.
Ich kann eine Botschaft vorbereiten.
And come and give you a lecture.
Und euch eine Vorlesung halten.
From the great revelations I've received.
Der großartigen Offenbarung, die ich hatte.
That is the mind of man.
Aber das ist meine Gesinnung.
And the ministry that is coming to, you know, that we are getting into, where we are going to, is the place where the mind of man will not have any answer.
Wir kommen irgendwann zu einem Punkt, wo die Gesinnung der Mensch einfach keine eigene Antwort mehr hat.
We come to the place where the mind of Christ begins to bring ministry.
Und da fängt dann die Gesinnung des Herrn an.
And Paul said, we all have access.
Und Paulus sagt,
to the mind of Christ.
Haben zu der
and my prayer is, I say, God, I want your mind.
Amen.
I want the mind of Christ to feed me.
Ich möchte,
now, I want to tell you, there are physical, practical things you can use to know whether you are receiving the mind of Christ or the mind of man. If you are receiving the mind of Christ,
wenn ihr sie erhaltet,
you will see the effect on the emotions,
dann werdet ihr sehen, wie das einen Effekt auf eure Emotionen hat,
and on the desires.
Und eure Wünsche.
The desire will begin to change.
Eure Wünsche werden sich verändern.
You will begin to lose appetite for the carnal things.
Dein Appetit nach fleischlichen Dingen wird
you will begin to gain the appetite for spiritual things. That is one sure practical measure that you are receiving the mind of Christ. The second evidence is that the emotions will change. If you are someone who used to be easily offended, because you are receiving the mind of Christ, you will begin to rise from the earth. The plane of operation of your emotions will begin to rise.
Because
your mind is rising higher. Naturally, your emotions begin to rise also. The things that used to excite you will no longer excite you. The things that used to offend you will no longer offend you. Because you now have a new value system. When you are a child, they give you a toy, you are excited. If I bring a toy to you, you will no longer be excited. Because you have reason in your mind. Hallelujah. So, brethren, we are talking about practical realities. You have to say, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings. The two wings are the wings of the Spirit and the wings of the Word.
Diese beiden Flügel stehen für den Geist und das Wort.
The experience of the lampstand and the experience of the shewbread are two things that cause the mind to rise. And you can walk in that place. So, as the Spirit of God begins to come, and we begin to submit to that Spirit, we will begin to receive the Spirit of wisdom. We will receive the Spirit of understanding in the things of God. Wisdom is a very peculiar thing. Can I tell you about wisdom just in two words? Wisdom is an ability that the soul has to command and influence all the natures and dimensions of the soul to function in a particular way. That is called wisdom. Wisdom has the ability to marshal the soul in a particular direction. And there's a wisdom that's from God. And there is a wisdom that is from beneath. Amen. Wisdom is the ability to depart from evil. That means it is a grace that affects the emotion and the desire and the will and the mind, and it pulls away from evil and gives itself to God. For it says, by wisdom men depart from iniquity.
Amen.
The soul that is not wise will not be able to see the evil and will walk right into it. The reason why you and I still fall into sin is because we do not have wisdom. We are like that young man. The young man is the soul. Void of understanding.
Ohne Verstand.
Easily overcome by the strange woman. That was the strange woman the sister saw yesterday.
Das Thema hatten wir gestern.
The strange woman is there to deceive.
Die fremde Frau ist dafür da, um
the simple hearted. The simple hearted.
Die einfachen Herzen sind
the foolish mind.
Die dummen wegzukriegen.
But God has better things for us, brethren.
Aber Gott hat für die Geschwister viel bessere
Dinge. He said, get wisdom. Get understanding.
Bekommt Verständnis.
He said, I stand in the highest places.
Ich stehe auf den höchsten.
And I call to the children of men.
Und ich rufe die Kinder der Menschheit.
Come buy of me.
Komm, kauft von mir.
Receive understanding.
Und erhalte Verständnis.
That thy soul may live.
Dass deine Seele leben.
Amen. So wisdom is the jewel of the soul.
He
says, say to wisdom, thou art my sister. Say to wisdom, thou art my sister. Say to understanding, thou art my king's woman. Wisdom is the Spirit of Christ. It is what beautifies the soul for the bridegroom.
Für den Bräutigam schön macht.
So, as we begin to come to the place where we are offering our soul,
wenn wir also dahin kommen, wo wir unsere Seele opfern,
he says, you must not bring your sacrifice without wisdom. You must not appear before me empty.
Es heißt, dass wir nicht vor ihm mit leeren Händen kommen sollen.
So, I think I want to end.
Ich möchte hier zum Schluss kommen.
To say, God is moving us on.
Um euch zu sagen, Gott geht weiter mit uns.
There is a baptism for the soul.
Es gibt die Taufe für die Seele.
The soul must be anointed.
Die Seele muss gesalbt werden.
The oil of the Holy Ghost must come into our soul.
Der des Öl des Heiligen Geistes muss in unser Seele kommen.
And the mind of Christ must also come into our soul. And it is these two experiences that will beautify our soul to be desired by the Lord. As Esther prepared herself, so also we must prepare ourselves. We've gone beyond miracles. We've gone beyond prosperity. We are in the place where the soul must be offered. And God is saying, what do you have to offer? There is one measurement. He's looking for oil. God is looking for oil in the soul. The wise virgins had oil in the soul. They had that life of Christ in the soul. But the foolish bride was empty. He knew the Lord was coming, but was not prepared. And what God is looking for is not human intellect. Not human wisdom. Not national wisdom. He's looking for the mind of Christ. And Paul said, you have the mind of Christ. So, God has sent His Spirit. Because Eliezer was sent out to seek for a bride. So, what you do with the word is going to be important. Because you receive the word, the word must be made flesh. Because the word was in the beginning and was made flesh. That is speaking about the ark. Do you understand? The ark was covered by gold. The ark was covered by gold. The ark was incomplete. I was overshadowed by God. Don't you understand? The soul must be overshadowed by the Spirit. That is the oneness. So God is coming down to man. He's invading the emotions. He's invading my mind. I wish we could go on further. But brethren, there is a place God is calling us unto. And it is beyond the Pentecostal experience. The kingdom of God is coming down to the soul. My mind must be opened unto the Lord. That means I must find a scripture to keep my mind on. That is one practical way. Find the scripture. Keep your mind on it. He told Joshua, this word of the Lord must not depart from thy mind. He said, it must not depart from your mouth. That mouth is the mind. Because in it you must meditate day and night. So he was speaking about his mind. Then you will have good success. Amen. So he's calling for a new vocation where our mind is opened to the Lord. The mind of Christ is a mind that is opened to the Lord. A soul that is ruled by the Spirit. And not ruled by emotions and the desires. I want to challenge you. Try it. You will find yourself in a civil war. Huh? If you try, you will find yourself in the middle of a civil war. to move from a soul ruled by emotions and desires. A soul ruled by passions.
Eine Seele, die nicht mehr bestimmt wird von,
to a soul ruled by the Word of God. It's going to be, it will look so unexciting. But the outward man will perish. But the inward man is going to be renewed. Amen. So you will find yourself in a place of being weaned. You are being weaned out of things you have been bound to. Someone who is used to taking Indian hemp. Someone who is used to taking
weed.
His emotion is bound to it, to the pleasure. He's ruled by the pleasure of Indian hemp. Don't you understand? And you take it away from him, he's going to kill you. To get just one shot of it. And I want to encourage you that you will find a war within you. Because I've also seen that war within my soul. Don't you understand? I say, I'm not going to do this. I have the money to pay for it. I have the authority to do it. I have the spiritual backing to do it. I have all the things I need to back it. God says, if you touch it, you're a dead man. If you go that way, you're a dead man. So brethren, we have choices to make. To deny the flesh.
Amen.
And then to choose the way of the Spirit. And that's why you fast, actually. Because when you fast, you are giving authority to the mind. To say to the flesh, no food for you until so and so time. All the cells in your body are crying and want the butter. No butter for you until tomorrow. And when you break through, you find yourself going 7 days without butter. Don't you understand? It's just that initial battle you have to fight. That's how it is with other things. You know, we have come into the habit of doing certain things. Emotionally, we have been tied down to certain things. And these things, they rule us. And God is saying, turn the table. You must not be ruled by your emotions anymore. You must not be ruled by your desires anymore. The excitement you want to receive must come from the Spirit. And I pray God will strengthen us. I pray that God will release upon us the Spirit of power in the inward man. I say to God, my mind is so weak. My mind is so soft. But Paul was praying, I pray you might be strengthened with power in the inward man. Amen. We need to be a people that are strong inwardly. Amen. And when a man is strong inwardly, he can say to anger, sit down. Amen. Amen. He can speak soft words. When the high words are coming, he said, no, I'm not going to. I'm a son of God. I have authority. Amen. I have authority to have dominion over my spirit.
über meine Seele,
over my emotions and my desires.
Meine
Amen.
Meine Wünsche, Autorität zu haben.
So that is the way of the sons of God.
Das ist der Weg der Söhne Gottes.
And Jesus was there. The man was trying him. And he forgave them. Say, Father, I forgive them. Jesus was on the cross and he forgave them.
Und er sagte, ich vergebe ihnen.
So do not lay it to their charge.
Rechnet ihn nicht an, sagt er.
Amen. So I think we can close with that. Forgive me for going so long. But I realize that today is the last night. And your house is just around the corner. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.